It is totally impossible to love without God's love. Some people say they'll never get married because the way they see people are doing marriage. But when you think about it, is marriage bad? It's not. As a matter of fact, marriage, the family, is the first institution God created. So if marriage has this so-called bad reputation, it's not because it's bad. It's because people are doing it bad. And I think for all of us, even for us wives, some of us, we do have difficult husbands. Nobody would say amen. I was waiting for that amen. Let me try this. Some of you ladies, you do, don't say amen, all right? Don't say amen. Some of you ladies, you might have a difficult husband. But do you know that? You know what? It goes to, in marital relationship, or even the for me to love my neighbors. For me to love this neighbor who just can't be nice, can't be kind. And sometimes you just want to pay unkindness for unkindness. You want to pay rudeness for rudeness. But I can't. Because the more I am in love with Jesus, the better I can love others. Thanks for sharing that. I'll never forget that one. In John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus said, "Just as I have loved you, you ought to love one another." Somebody may ask, well, then what is Jesus talking about here? Let me read it to you. What is love? You know, there are all kinds of love. But right now we know Jesus is making reference to the agape love. To the love that gives, not the love that takes. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, think about it for a second from the NLT. "If I could speak all languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong and clanging cymbal." A noisy gong. "If I had the gift of prophecy," you know, prophecy is revealing the mind of Christ. The Bible says, if I had the gift to know exactly what Christ is thinking, but if I don't know how to love, man, what would it profit me? "Or even if I had I would be able to understand all of God's secrets, plans, and possess all knowledge, if I had such faith that could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I give everything I have to the poor, and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing." John 13, 34 says, Jesus says, just as I have loved you, you must love each other. And today there is I said it already. Thank you for giving us another example. You've encouraged us, not only for us who are married and our spouse here, to continue to love them like Christ loves the church, for us husband, for you wife, to continue to respect your husband, but it extend to other relationships. Your children, your nephew, your stubborn cousin. We all have one of them, of those. You know, your friend who took advantage of you. And then it goes on in verse 4, it says that the kind of love Jesus is talking about is right here, from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Last week I told you, walking in fellowship with God, walking, living in the light, is living in love. You cannot say you walk in fellowship with God and yet be so rude. Doesn't go. Love is patient. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Is that it does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. Wow. God, help. Would you pray this with me? Lord, help me. Okay, all right, pray for me. Say, Lord, help, Pastor. Thank you, thank you. Appreciate that. I need it. I do. Think about it. I do. Because if you like me, I'm sure there are days you don't feel like loving people. And let's not be hypocrites, especially this person that you're living with. It could be a mother. It could be your wife. It could be your husband. It could be your children. They get under your skin. Let's try that again. Let's pray this prayer. Lord, help me. There we go. Yeah, because we do need help, Lord. We need help from the Holy Spirit. We do. We cannot love unless we know how to love God. And the more we love God, the better we love God, the easier it is to love others. And it goes on and on, you know. I promised Betty to speak for about 15 minutes, right? And I'm right now 6 minutes. But listen to this from Gary Chapman. He talks about, he wrote books about the five love languages. For example, when you study the Bible, you realize Jesus, he operates. Jesus lived in the five love languages. For example, we're not going to read it. John chapter 13, verse 1 to 15. Acts chapter 17, Matthew 11, you know, Mark, the whole Bible, especially in the Gospels. Jesus showed us how to love. And those five love languages, I tell you guys, every one of you here, if you haven't taken time to figure out what's your love language, go find out. What's my wife's love language? Kendra's love language is act of service and quality time. So it doesn't matter how much gift I give Kendra if I never helped her around the house. You know what she told me? She told me back in the day she loves when I do projects with her. Like when I go and get poop for her garden. I mean, horse poop. Horse poop. Horse poop, guys. Manure. Is that manure? All right, I'm still in English class, okay? All right, help me out. It's manure, okay? I get it. But you got the lesson. You know what? When I'm in there in the garden, as much as the first couple times I hated it, you know, I'm like, I'm going and get my truck all dirty with manure, not horse poop. I'm learning as much. But then I'm like, I could be having a bad attitude, but this lady is just so in love with me because I'm just speaking her language. So therefore, I become a wise person to learn how to speak her language. By, and Jesus did the same thing with us. You know, word of, some people it's word of affirmation. Some others it's giving gifts or receiving gifts. It's physical touch. Now, when we talk about physical touch, it doesn't have to be in a sexual sense. You know, find out, you'll find out when you dislike somebody, the first thing you do is avoiding them. It's like you go a little further. Why? Because you don't want to touch. Don't touch me. Right? You know? And for those of us who are married, when you have issues, the first thing you do, you sleep way over there in the bed. The side of the bed. Why? Because you don't want to speak the other person's language. Or maybe it's your physical touch is your love language, but then because you're mad, you don't want to give. Now remember what we said from 1 Corinthians 13. Love give. Love does not keep a record of wrong. Love is good. Love is kind. You know, and then I'm at 10 minutes right now. And then, of course, there's another book that Kendra and I were reading since February. This book has helped us a lot. It's The Five Language of apologies. You see, one of the things that destroy marriages, relationships, friendships, families, we don't know how to apologize. I had to learn it. Because sometimes you're just like, man, you know, I'm mad. You know, you did this, you did that. I'm like, okay, well, I'm sorry. Get over it. You know, those sorry, I don't know if you guys, I'm talking about me, okay? If you guys have been, maybe some of you, maybe if you like me, you know, this person that's just telling you, crying, sincerely telling you what, honey, this is our brother, Ricardo, whatever, this is what you've done. And you're like, oh, really? I wasn't trying to offend you. Well, then I'm sorry. Get over it. That's not representing God. That's not representing Jesus. And I tell you, one of the issue we have in the church, we don't know. I mean, yeah, we don't know how to love people. And let me repeat it to you again. You cannot love God until you know how to love people. It doesn't matter what shape, what color, wherever they are. As a matter of fact, racism is straight from hell. We are created in the image of God. The whole idea that one person own another person is straight from hell. So if you're dealing with, I mean, I am glad that I am a black man. I am proud to be a black person because God created me. I love my color, man. What are you talking about? I want to be white. Thank you. Puerto Rican, you know? So you all, each of you, you were created in the image of God. So when you know who you are in Christ, nobody can put you down. When you know who you are in Christ, you know what? When I walk into a place, I carry a presence. And how do I become like this? Because of my relationship with Jesus. And we all can have that too. Because I believe all of us, we experience racism. You know, there's a big mindset of, I mean, I say culture or spirit of racism among black people too. The whole racism is not just white against black, black against green, green against orange, whatever the color you want to be. You have white people who have racism sentiment against other white people. You know, they call them names. You know, you live this area in town, and this fight against, I mean, this is bad. This shouldn't be in God's people. Shouldn't be. So this morning, right? Right. I like it. She's bold. He's looking at me. He's right. You know, and then, so for example, let me finish with this. Maybe some other day I'll come back with this. When you hurt somebody, or somebody express that you hurt them, plan to change. Make a plan to change. Make restitution. You make restitution and express regret. You know, some people, until you express regret, for them, to them, your apology is worthless. So now I had to learn, when my wife says, you hurt me, I have to be, I gotta be sincere. Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. You know, I mean, I don't really cry much, but I wish I could. Because I'm so sorry. But then you know what I do? I change my behavior. So I stop doing the things that she's not happy about. I stop doing it. So then that showed her, or my kids, or my friend, that I'm truly sorry. Guys, without holiness and peace with people, no one will go to heaven. And believe me, there are people who goes to church once in a while. There are also people who goes, attend church on a regular basis. They won't make it to heaven. I don't want that to be for you. I pray today that you can witness that God loves you. You can witness there is hope. And he's knocking at the door, at the heart of your door. If your life is not right with the Lord, repent. Don't go home. Come talk to me. Repent of your sin. If you're struggling to trust God, Trust him. It is impossible to please God without faith. And those who believe, who come to God, must know he exists. And by this knowing, he will reward you when you seek him. And the last one is, when you're sorry or you hurt somebody, you ask for forgiveness. Do you know it's hard for a lot of people to say, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me? I was talking to somebody, I'd say my dad, I hope he's different now, but did she fall? Oh, it's all right. Oh, you good. You know, Jesus says, let the little children come to me. It's all good. So I'm going to finish with this and then we'll pray. Me and my brothers, one day we were talking to my dad. There's three brothers, me and two others. And then we're like, Dad, you know, this is what you've done, but we forgive you. You know, we forgive you. But my younger brother, our younger brother, he's struggling. He's struggling to forgive you. And the only thing you would need to do to open the door towards healing for him is to say, I am sorry. Would you forgive me? And my dad looked at us and said, never! I'll never ask for forgiveness. And when you do that, when somebody does that, who do you think they put in jail? My brother? No. Who do you think is more miserable? It's my dad. I mean, of course, my brother would pray that somehow the Holy Spirit will grab a hold of his heart, soften his heart like he did with ours, so we could forgive dad. But, guys, when it comes to managing life relationship, until we see Jesus face to face, this is your first job. Now, your first job, you think, well, yeah, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul. And then, there's another one. Equally to that one. This is the greatest commandment. You love others like you love yourself. Come back for more. Amen? Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for our daily bread. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit in our midst, Lord. Thank you for this great celebration we're doing today. And Lord, as we transition in the next room, I pray that your presence would continue to speak to us. Lord, the seeds of your word that was planted here, may it find good soil. We love you, Jesus, and we celebrate your goodness in Betty and Felix's life. And we thank you for giving us, this physical example on how we can continue to manage life relationships. So bless the food that physical food we're about to eat. Bless the team the people in the background, the decorating team, everybody that put, their hands into this realization today. We ask that you be with them. People that travel far and will plan to go back home this week, today, tomorrow. Lord, we ask that you would be with them. Fill them with your peace. We love you, Jesus. Could you say that with me? We love you, Jesus. Amen. Well, God bless you. Let's go eat. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.